Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Melanie Stennett, Assistant Director of the Office of Professional Responsibility and Security Operations at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Alan Heath. Melanie, guiding the development of ATF's budget strategy are four core mission activities, which it consistently makes investments in to strengthen its performance. Would you elaborate on the extent to which ATF links its budget planning process to its strategic vision, in a sense, in order to ensure that the investments that you're making tie back to your overarching strategic goals?
Certainly. And in fact, this is something that I think we at ATF take a lot of pride in because of the hard work we spent over the last 3 or 4 years. We had an Office of Strategic Planning in ATF probably since the early 90s. But unfortunately, around 2000, 2001, what started to happen was the strategic planning meetings and the sessions we had with the leadership team became more about people giving presentations on what they were doing in their office and not necessarily about how we needed to guide the budget and how we needed to prioritize the things we need to do in our mission. In about 2007, we decided we needed to get that office back up and running. And we got a very talented person who was a former ATF agent. He had a wealth of information about ATF's mission, but also understood, you know, the ATF budget process, fiscal laws, our unified financial system, or our current financial system that we had back at the time. He'd been an ASAC out in the field, and he had a lot of energy. So we started a series of offsites with our entire executive staff where we just sat down and said, what should our priorities be? What should our goals be? And I know that Chris Pelletier, who heads the strategic planning office, told me that he knew that we had really gotten the plan right when people started to argue passionately with him, when he started questioning, are we sure this is really what we want to do? So that intense process basically developed a new strategic plan with 6 priorities that basically cover all of the commodities that we deal with: firearms trafficking, criminal groups and gangs, which would be the priority that reaches things like alcohol and tobacco diversion and money laundering of those commodities, explosives, bombs and bombings, fire and arson, modernization, and workforce. So after we got the strategic plan up and running, and I want to say it was published probably a couple months ago, we also had what we called strategic planning action committees put into place for each of those priorities. And they're led by a deputy assistant director, and they're supposed to help us develop the action plans in those areas, respond to any issues that are unique that need attention, and basically help us figure out our budget needs. So our goal is to have a performance measurement index that will accurately report ATF performance, comply with DOJ measurement and reporting requirements, review whether resources are used effectively and efficiently, and develop true core outcome-based measures that will articulate clear accomplishments that ATF has made.
Melanie, given the scope and breadth of the ATF programs, would you tell us a little more about your efforts to develop and embed a proper internal control framework and plan to ensure ATF manages and uses its resources efficiently and effectively?
Absolutely. As you said, internal controls promote efficiency and reduce the risk of asset loss and help us ensure the reliability of our financial statement and our compliance with all the laws and regulations. So one thing that I did early on as the CFO was I became the member of a DOJ's senior assessment team from ATF, and that's the team that monitors internal control in A123 for the department and gives us the guidance on what it is we need to be looking at and testing. And so I was visible over there as ATF, and then I would go back and provide visibility of the program to my peers at ATF. And I used what we call our CFO steering committee to service the component assessment team to keep us on track with internal controls. Now, the management and analysis staff in ATF, and April Harris, who is with me today, is actually the person that, on the staff that oversees internal controls. And she continually updates the program with the help of a working group of across ATF. And we require our managers as part of that program to use what we call the internal control certification tool to assess whether controls are in place at mid-year and whether there needs to be any corrective actions put into place. And then we also use that same process to verify on an annual basis that we have taken steps to correct any deficiencies and to minimize waste, fraud, and abuse and mismanagement and misappropriation of ATF assets. The process also includes not just the control tool itself, but using contractors to help us basically document our processes and then test our controls. Now, what April would like to do for the coming year is to actually update the program to revise the tool to include only high-risk areas at this point, to put in a requirement for actual target dates for our corrective actions, and to follow up on the corrective actions with the annual statements at the end of the fiscal year, to actively participate in the testing of controls along with our contractors, to provide annual training on internal controls, not just for our managers and supervisors, but for our employees, and to develop sub-working groups to coordinate my agency's or my director's checklist when they go out to the field with the reporting of internal controls, and actually to go out to the field during compliance reviews and do some of her internal control testing.
Very good. Hey, Melanie, the Department of Justice is pursuing its overhaul of its core financial system, and ATF has migrated to this unified financial management system. So first, could you tell us more about the Unified Financial Management System, also known as UFMS, and how has it shaped your financial management strategy? And probably more importantly, how will it change the daily and overall operations in your organization?
It is the Unified Financial Management System that is basically a department-wide system that uses standard processes and standard reference tables to help the department manage its financial enterprise, but at the same time giving the component flexibility to address their own mission needs quickly, strategically, and effectively. And it also meets the Attorney General's goal of improving financial performance and complying with the financial accounting standards and integrating both the financial function and the procurement functions in a secure environment, and we hope with reduced cost. Now, while it is a streamlined system and it is standardized, we still will have access to our data at the component level. And we'll be able to configure certain UFMS system functionalities that best meet ATF-specific needs. ATF had already been on the product known as Momentum since 1999, I want to say. And so we're very familiar with the product. And I think that's one thing that the department likes, because we have some history with it, so we can give them some advice on the features. We took advantage of the process of the implementation to actually re-engineer some of our business processes. So phase one was basically the migration, which began in 2009 and was successful. And phase two will commence in October of 2010. Now, in terms of what I would recommend to people to do if they want to get on a system like UFMS and how they would do that, at least in our experience at the department, we put a person on detail as to the transition team at UFMS, and she was in the PMO office for, I want to say a year, that might not be correct. And so when she came back over to ATF, she was able to provide us a lot of insight as we were beginning to implement UFMS. And I think it's important as well to get people on the agency component team that are the right mix of people. So we had somebody who was in our finance and accounting staff. We had Melissa, who had been over at the department. We had people from the contracting staff, people from our Office of Science and Technology. It was very important for us to go over to DEA, who had actually was one of the first offices other than the Asset Forfeiture Branch to actually put UFMS in place. We went over to their office and we had a meeting on lessons learned. In fact, we probably had more than one meeting. And it provided us network opportunities and people that we could reach out to obtain feedback from and help us kind of shape our implementation and our activities.
Melanie, we've talked about UFMS and how significant an effort it is at DOJ. What are some of the challenges you've experienced? And what advice would you give others who are moving to the enterprise financial system?
Well, as I said, it's hard when you have different people from different offices and external to the government working on a project together. It can be a very good thing, but it's only a very good thing when you communicate the goal up front and make sure everybody's on board and ensure that they all have the same goal of success. And the same goal of success isn't necessarily just, we get the system up and running. It's that it's a system that works for you and doesn't cause you any audit challenges and one that you can actually live with after we walk out the door. So ensuring that all the project members have that same goal in mind, and understanding that you're not always going to get things the way you want because it is an enterprise-wide system. Yes, there is compromise, there is a collaboration, and we all need to be listening to each other. You know, the next important challenge, and I think we're working through it now, is the conversion of the data and testing to make sure that everything converts over and that we have as little downtime as possible at the beginning of next fiscal year. So that's a challenge. And to me, managing the user expectations is also also a challenge. And there will be a noticeable change to the flow and the way UFMS looks. So, for example, the budget and accounting strips aren't going to look the same, and other reports may look different. And so we've been trying to get the word out to folks through town hall meetings, through memos from the director, memos from me, UFMS bulletins that talk about, here's what it's going to look like. As soon as we have more information on some of these things, we'll tell them, hey, training's going to be coming up in the June, July timeframe. You really need to take the training. Some of it's online. Some of it will be in person. Go to the Department of Justice Learning Center. So I think, you know, just making sure you have to identify the challenges, but then you have to just make sure you have a plan in place to market it and train people and get it out there so they know what it's all about and they're not scared.
What is the ATF doing to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce? We will ask Melanie Stennett, Assistant Director, Office of Professional Responsibility and Security Operations at the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.